Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. It's the first Sunday in Lent. On Tuesday, it was Shrove Tuesday, also known as Pancake Day, and on Wednesday, it was Ash Wednesday, and thus the start of the period of time in the church that it was referred to as Lent. For those of us who have been in the church for a while, we're used to the idea of Lent. But what is it? What is the point? A quick Google search tells us that Lent is a 40-day solemn Christian season of fasting, prayer, and repentance, starting on Ash Wednesday and ending before Easter, and it's designed to prepare believers for Christ's resurrection. It mirrors the 40 days Jesus spent fasting in the desert, and often practices include giving up meat on Fridays, personal sacrifices, giving up luxuries, charity, and increased devotion. Now, I have had many conversations with people over the years about what Lent is, why Christians give things up, and so forth. But I've never thought of Lent like Liz Dodd does in Easter in Disguise. She says, "I used to hate Lent. A few weeks of grim mourning is not enough to change the world. Either, I thought, we ought to be provoked into serious, lasting social action by God's wounded heart, or we ought to be forever the resurrection, triumphant, defiant, rebellious joy in the face of everything that dehumanizes and destroys. Lent, I finally realized, is when we discover that these are the same thing. God is most present in the oppressed and damaged parts of our world. But we only truly know that when we are willing to go there ourselves. Lent is Easter in disguise, not something to be endured on the way to the empty tomb and Easter garden, but rather the breaking open of the tomb, the liberation and liberating to which we are called as people of faith in the God who is poor. Lent is a breathtaking invitation moulded around the most extraordinary contours of Jesus' ministry. It is not a polite fast from biscuits or a few extra coins in the collection plate. It is a challenge to turn your life upside down, to extricate yourself from some systems of injustice and utterly overthrow others. Lent has the potential to change you and the world forever." I really like that quote, as it sort of really reimagines what Lent is and why we take on the task of preparing ourselves for Easter. When I was trying to discern what God wanted us to do with our Lent series this year, I did some research to see what was available, and I very quickly saw a common theme appearing. One which links our Lent journey towards the cross with an invitation to follow Jesus' call to radical social justice. Not only does this seem to be the theme for many of the 2026 Lent books, but it also seems to be a topic God is highlighting for me as well. At the conference I was at the other week, I was part of a team hosting a seminar at how we can listen to and share stories to help us see the world through each other's perspectives and to help us journey together for justice in an unjust world. So there seems to be this theme arising, calling Christians to consider issues of justice. And for our Lenten journey, we will be using the Bloomsbury 2026 Lent book, Easter in Disguise by Liz Dodd, where we are encouraged to adopt six different spiritualities, ways to pray and experience God, that focus our attention on following Jesus in his mission of radical justice and peace in every community and situation we find ourselves in. These practices are invitations, pathways into transformation, because they challenge us to surrender as well as to act. This week, we're looking at the spirituality of solidarity. There are many passages we could choose to demonstrate Jesus' solidarity with the human experience. As Dodd says, the incarnation is the ultimate act of solidarity, because God became human and lived a human life in absolute solidarity with us. So we're going to look at our Bible reading, and it's from Matthew 4, 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. So the passage we're using to help us think about solidarity might seem like a strange choice. After all, what does Jesus' desert experience all on his own tell us about solidarity? It is argued that the temptations Jesus faced were moments where Jesus experienced the raw edge of humanity, hunger, vulnerability, powerlessness. And with each temptation, Jesus could have backed away from the fullness of his humanity, and so backed away with solidarity with us. He had the power to give himself what he desired, but instead he chose to experience hunger, to experience being overlooked, to experience being overpowered. Different scholars and commentators have suggested that the temptations that Jesus faces and overcomes are representative of the three main areas that we are vulnerable to. Survival, the need to do whatever is necessary to survive. Idolization, the desire to be loved and admired above all, at any cost. And control, the temptation to assert our own will on situations rather than following God's. Thomas Keating claims that we are emotionally programmed to protect ourselves in these areas. He says this is the situation that Jesus went into the desert to heal. Jesus redeemed us from the consequences of our emotional programs for happiness by experiencing them himself. He appears in the desert as the representative of the human race. He bears within himself the experience of the human predicament in its raw intensity. So how does Jesus stand in solidarity with us? Our basic human instincts are geared toward survival, and in many situations, listening to those instincts are important. Jesus came to earth living a fully human life while also being fully God. When he went out into the wilderness, he could easily have made food out of nothing. That would have been listening to his human instinct. He was hungry. He could have made food. But Jesus didn't have to experience the aching hunger, but he chose to experience humanity in its fullest. Satan tempted him to turn away from humanity by satisfying his desire for food. But Jesus rebuked Satan using the scriptures. When Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy 8 verse 3 saying, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God," he is demonstrating that God is with us at all times, especially during our time of need. We do not live on bread alone, but on the word of God, because God is with us. And to further that, in the verse before that in Deuteronomy 8 verse 2, it says, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness." Remember how the Lord your God led you. God was with them in the wilderness. God is with us in the wilderness of our lives. God is with us. He knows our weaknesses and needs, not just because he made us and intimately knows us, but because he chose to live a human life experiencing hunger and need. In the second temptation, Satan taps into that human desire for love and admiration and tries to tempt Jesus to gain the love and admiration of the people by putting on a spectacle that they will see and marvel at. He says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so you will not strike your foot against a stone." We all want to be noticed and loved. Satan takes that desire for recognition and increases it into a desire for worship and adulation. We may not acknowledge it, but we all do have a desire for praise from others. And yet Jesus, the one who truly deserves praise and worship, rejected Satan's temptation, choosing to stand with the unnoticed and overlooked, rather than being among the rich and the powerful. And then in the third temptation, Satan tries to get Jesus to use political power to achieve his ends, tempting Jesus to assert control through his own will rather than following his Father's will. Satan knew that Jesus had come to earth to establish the kingdom of God, and so he tried to convince Jesus to take a shortcut instead of following the will of God. But once again, Jesus rebukes Satan, choosing the path of suffering and oppression to stand with humanity rather than using his power to stand apart from us. We often think of Jesus' desert experience in terms of solitude and silence, but let's also learn to think of it as a demonstration of Jesus' solidarity with us as he expresses uncompromising humanity in the physical hunger, yes, but also in the way that he craves security, affection, and control. And yet he denies these and becomes more fully human, more interdependent with the humanity he came to live among. And when he leaves the desert, Jesus goes off to proclaim the kingdom of God is here, not as a king might establish a kingdom, but by continuing to live among the people, situating himself amongst poverty, isolation, and oppression. So why is this important? What is the point of me talking about all this? Well, firstly, it's important because we have a God who knows our struggles intimately. In Hebrews 4 verse 15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." And so, as Hebrews 14:16 continues, we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence because Jesus knows what it is to be human. No matter what situation, state, or condition you are in, I am in, God understands and cares. He stands in solidarity with us. He is with us always, in all places, and at all times. So that's the first takeaway, that God is with us and he understands what it is to be us. And so we can come to him with everything and anything. The second thing to take away from this is the call that we are given. The call to follow Jesus' footsteps, to stand in solidarity with the people around us, particularly those who are hungry, overlooked, and overpowered. When we consider Jesus in the desert, we see echoes of his commitment to journey towards the cross. Liz Dodd says this, Were Jesus to stumble in his humanity in the desert, to treat God like a cosmic slot machine, to exert himself in power to satisfy his own emotional programs for happiness and security, he would not have stayed on the cross either. Jesus chooses humanity, hunger, interdependence, service, ahead of any agenda for power. He dies because of this. And he asks us to take the same road. Jesus calls us to walk the same road that he walked, the road of interdependence and sacrifice, of solidarity and love. So often in life, and I think particularly during Lent, we withdraw into ourselves. We consider our own personal faith and how we can draw closer to God personally. But this Lent, I want to encourage us to see how we can open up and share life, share community with people around us. Let's be willing to stand with people in the ups and downs of life, to give and receive hospitality, to truly listen to people's stories and be willing to share our own. What would it look like to live in solidarity with the people around you? Instead of huddling together in the safety of the church, what would it look like if we followed Jesus' example and lived among the people in our communities, with our neighbours, the people that we walk with, the people we work with? How can we live in solidarity with them all? So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you have called us to you, because you became one of us. You chose to leave your place in heaven, to take on human form, to become one of us and stand in solidarity with us. And Lord, we thank you that because of this, we are able to approach God's throne confidently. But you also call us to follow in your footsteps. And Lord, you know that this is something we find quite difficult. We like the safety and security of huddling away in our little bubbles. But you call us out. You call us to be standing in solidarity with those around us. So show us how we are called to do this. Show us what you want us to do, to say, who you want us to be with. And Lord, give us courage to follow in your footsteps. Amen.